Well, welcome, folks. It's good to be with you again this Sunday morning. And we're going to start a new series for over the next few weeks. I'd like us to take a look at the book of 1 Thessalonians. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. That's what we're going to look at today. Just as a bit of a backdrop, let me just explain how this all works. It is believed that the first letter Paul wrote was to the Thessalonian church. It was one of the earliest letters written, as it was written in 52 AD. That would mean that it was written about 20 years after the death of Jesus. Thessalonica was a thriving Greek city with a population around 200,000. That's sort of like about twice the size of Kamloops. It was a bustling city, a happening place. It was on the Aegean Sea and was a main port for Macedonia. The Roman road going from the Rome to the Orient went right through Thessalonica, with the port and the transportation route, which made the city both a strategic location for the government and the military in Paul's day. So it would be in a great place. It would be in like living in Vancouver, maybe in those days, one of the bigger cities around. As a Greek city, it was dominated by many different religions, false religions, the Jewish religion. But many of the false religions were filled with immorality as well. Yet, it was also a place where those searching for spiritual truths were open to hearing about the one true God. We even read in Acts about Paul being in Thessalonica, where he proclaimed the gospel in the synagogues on three Sabbaths. In Acts chapter 17, verse 4, we read, "Some of the Jews were persuaded to and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. A number of people were coming to know the Lord. They were getting saved. And yet, we also continue to read on in Acts 17 and realize it wasn't just all roses and great, because we read that about the Jews and how they were jealous and they stirred up problems for Paul. So things were growing, the church was growing, but there was also struggles on the outside. In the letter to the Thessalonians, we get a good look at one of the earliest churches and what it was like. Paul starts his letter with thanking God for the church there and assuring them that he was continually praying for them. At this point in the letter, Paul relates to the church what he always remembers about them. Just listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is saying, "I remember all that you are doing. You are not a church which has a hidden faith." He's saying, "You are a church which wears your Christianity on their sleeves, as it were. They are a light on a hill for the kingdom of God." They were definitely not closet Christians at all. Paul says that they have works produced by faith. The Thessalonians knew there was more to their faith than just going to church and proclaiming the gospel through words. In James chapter 2, verse 14, we read, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save him? In writing about faith with deeds, I believe James has two thoughts in mind. First, James says, what good is it to say that you have faith, that you believe in the Father, if you have no works, works of building a relationship with the Father? I mean, think about it. What good is our faith if we don't work to build our relationship with the Father? If we don't read our Bibles or pray? If we don't spend quality time with God? What good is our faith? What good is a relationship with a God that we don't spend any time with? If we have faith and believe that Jesus died for us and that our Father loves us beyond measure, shouldn't that faith produce a deep desire of works? Works of wanting to read our Bible, wanting to pray, wanting to spend time with Him, wanting to do and know all there is about Jesus? Our faith should not only produce works focused on the author and perfecter of our faith. Secondly, our faith must produce works focused on others. Isn't that so important in these unprecedented times? We need to be there for others. Something that takes creative thinking in these days. I am so encouraged how people from our church are phoning one another. I mean, it's a powerful way of staying connected while we are to be self-distancing. As you are phoning, you are making sure one another are doing okay. You're pouring out your love to them and your concern for them during these difficult times. That is work which is produced by faith. And along with this phoning one another in the church, we need to be phoning others, our family members, our neighbors, and those in our community, just to make sure that they're okay as well. I know one person I was talking to who phones certain neighbors constantly just to make sure they're doing okay and if they need anything. Another good example of works produced by faith are those who are continuing to work at the Equality Project, making sure the people who come to the Equality Project have meals during the week. Now, they can't have them in like they used to. They just produce meals and hand them out at the door. But they're on the front lines, as it were. They're putting their health at risk, yet they're there. Their works are produced by their faith of a loving God. Our works produced by faith are really the gospel of love extended to others. In this way, we are letting our light for the kingdom shine. Then Paul says, he remembers the church in Thessalonica for their labor prompted by love. Honestly, there is not much difference between works produced by faith and labor prompted by love. The word works and labor are very close here. What Paul's really emphasizing is that the works and the labor are spurred on by faith and love. That would be why Jesus exhorts in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That is exactly what Paul is commending the church for doing. The Thessalonians' labor was prompted by the same love which Jesus had shown them. That sacrificial love, that love that he gave himself, he gave all who he was for the church in Thessalonica. That prompted their labor. Sometimes our labor can be a sacrifice, as Jesus sacrificed for us. Maybe it's of our time or our finances or our energy, but it is nothing compared to the sacrifice Jesus made for us. As we do this, we are showing the world, those around us, those in our community, that we are Christians by the works and labor which we do. It's a natural outpouring to those around us because of the faith and love we have. Faith and love which comes from our Heavenly Father. We become a light to the world that the gospel is real. Paul writes that he remembers the believers in Thessalonica because of their endurance, which is inspired by hope. How important is this in our lives today? We live in times where many feel there is not much hope. When is the coronavirus going to be over? When can we start gathering together? When can we stop social distancing? Are my finances going to make it till the end? Or am I going to have to sell everything I own just to pay the rent or the mortgage or buy some food? Will things ever get back to the way it was? No wonder the writer in Proverbs wrote in Proverbs 13, verse 12, the first half says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." You see, those out there that don't know Jesus have their hope set on their finances, their homes, their material possessions, their livelihoods, their jobs. And that hope is pushed off right now. It's deferred, and their hearts are sick. Yet when we read back in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3 that their endurance was inspired by hope, that word endurance there, it means the power to withstand hardships and stress, especially having the inward fortitude necessary. That's what folks are struggling with in our time today. When we show those around us that we're managing just fine in the middle of the crisis, they will want to know how come we're not so stressed to the max. That's a time when we can be honest, telling them we don't really like what's going on. We're not really happy with it. And maybe we can even admit that we don't really understand it all. Then we can tell them that we are not stressed because even though we don't know what the future holds, we have a hope in the future and a hope because we know who holds the future. Our Heavenly Father holds the future. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verse 16, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." We can endure. We don't need to stress because God has all our days laid out for us. He had them all laid out before the beginning of time, before we took one single breath. Our days were planned out for us. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4 reveals, "For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you." The one who has chosen us before the beginning of time, the one who loves us above all others, has planned each and every day of our lives for His glory. We trust and rest in that hope which gives us our endurance. That endurance, inspired by hope in our lives, is a light to those we connect with, those we come in contact with. Paul is saying this Thessalonian church is known by its faith, hope, and love. We read in 1 Corinthians 13:13, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." These three things need to be characterized in each one of our lives. Others around us should be able to say that they see our faith, hope, and love by our works, by our labor, by our endurance, those things in our daily lives. Paul closes the first chapter by telling the church in Thessalonica that they are an example to all in Greece. We read in verses 6 to 10, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the coming wrath." Paul tells the church that they have become imitators of the Lord. In other words, they have become copycats of Jesus. They live as Jesus did. They do all that Jesus did. They took on His character and lived out their faith, hope, and love every day through works, labor, and endurance. Paul said it didn't seem to matter where he went. People knew the Christian faith because of the example of the Thessalonian believers, how they had lived out their lives for the kingdom. Their testimony preceded them and Paul. People knew what their pasts were. They knew they were just ordinary people. They were the same as them. These believers used to worship idols just as they did, as everyone else did in the area. Those around also knew that they had changed. How would they have known? Was it because they packed a big Bible and wore a large cross around their neck and went to church every Sunday? No. It wasn't because of that. It was because they now served the one true living God. And the people saw it in their actions. It was more than just going to church or packing a Bible or wearing a cross. They saw their works and the labor. They saw their endurance. People were talking about the changes which had happened to their neighbors and their friends. Their example, their testimony was out there. It'd become a light of hope in the darkness. Isn't that what we need to be at this time? People need to see that we've changed. This church in Thessalonica was one of the early churches from almost 2,000 years ago. Yet they lived in a world with challenges and struggles, much as we do today. What a challenge for us today to live like this. How are we seen? Not just as Crossroads Pentecostal Assembly, not just as a group of Christians, but how are we seen also individually as Christians? Do our neighbors, our friends, our family see a difference in our lives, in our behavior? Are we different from those around us who have not yet become Christians? Do they see our works, our labor? Our faith and our love should automatically produce an overabundance for all to see. Do people around see our steadfast endurance during challenging times so they might ask, how do we manage? To which we can share the hope we have in Jesus. It isn't all about us. But it's all about the kingdom of God. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The Thessalonians let their light shine. Their example, their works, their labor and endurance before all people. They all saw it so that their heavenly Father would be praised. They weren't looking for the glory for themselves. That was 2,000 years ago. Now it's our turn. May we let our example, our words, our labor, and our endurance be seen so others will know it all comes from God. It's all from the faith, hope, and love our Heavenly Father has placed in us. Let us let our light shine brightly in our communities, on our streets. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church and what an amazing example of the Christian faith being lived out in daily lives as they let their light shine before those around them. And Father, that's our desire as well, that we live and people would see our works, our labor. They would see it because of the faith and hope we have in you. Lord, let our faith and hope produce an abundance of works and labor in our lives. Father, that we may stand for the glory of the kingdom. And Father, May our hope produce endurance, our hope in Jesus, our hope in what we have, our hope that you have ordained our lives, each day of our lives, a hope that we know that these things don't happen by accident, that you've got it all planned out from the beginning, before we were even around. You have it all planned out. You know exactly where the world's going, as messed up as it looks. Father, fill us with an endurance which gives us that inner fortitude to stand in the challenging times, to say, I'm standing on the solid rock. I shall not be moved. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds the future. Father, we place our lives and all who we are in you. In you and you alone. You are our hope. Lord, we ask that you would continue to protect our communities from the virus. And Lord, we desire to be able to meet again as a body soon. So we lay that in your hands, because we know that you have the plans all in your hands. And we submit to your plans. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. May we let our light shine for you. Every moment of every day. In Jesus' name, amen.